Tonight, Roman continues his legendary reign. SummerSlam happened last night, loaded with turns, returns, and the ring almost literally turned upside down. AEW is coming to Canada. It's the day of Ric Flair's last match in Nashville. And Raj Singh from Impact Wrestling joins me on the show. All that and a lot more tonight on Sunday Night's Main Event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
It's the day after SummerSlam, and there's a lot to take in following the first official show of the Triple H creative regime era. Also, at 73 years old, the nature boy Ric Flair is taking to the ring for one last match, we think. Hey, I'm Mike McGuire. Welcome to Canada's wrestling radio show, Sunday Night's Main Event, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. The show is always available to you for free on the air on TSN Radio across Canada, the iHeartRadio and News Talk networks, and through our affiliate stations across the country. Of course, you can listen around the world at snmeradio.com. This show always drops early, including extended episodes of this show, full-length interviews, daily podcasts covering everything from wrestling, music, trivia, and a bunch more for just pennies a podcast at patreon.com/snmeradio. We've got a lot coming out of the last week, so let's take a look at some of the biggest stories with this week's Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Triple H, Paul Levesque, the new creative head and head of talent relations for WWE, did something unusual for WWE and actually spoke to media the day before SummerSlam happened in Nashville. During a scrum at the public tryout session that WWE held for collegiate athletes, Levesque outlined his vision for WWE moving forward.
I have a passion for this business that has been the same since the first day I ever saw it. And, I can promise everybody out there, I'm going to do everything I have in my power to make this better than they've ever seen before.
One member of the McMahon family that doesn't want to talk about WWE at all is Vince McMahon's wife? Question mark? Linda McMahon. She was approached by media at a political event and didn't have much to say about Vince, WWE, or any of the continuing investigation on Vince by WWE's board of directors.
The biggest story right now with Vince leaving WWE, what are your thoughts?
I'm not going to talk about Vince and WWE. I'm here to talk about AFPI.
I was just wondering what your thoughts were on him deciding to leave. Fans of wrestling are can't believe it.
You know what? He'll just be deciding on how he's going to spend his free time. I think that's a good thing. Thanks.
Now, that's someone who is still definitely married to Vince McMahon and still definitely in love. Back to SummerSlam for a second. If you notice the numbers seem to be growing during last night's SummerSlam broadcast, you're not alone. WWE announced during the pre-show that about 40,000 fans were going to be a part of the event last night. Now, they did open a couple of seating sections late in the game, so that number was made possible with just over 40,000 tickets being distributed, according to WrestleTix.com. As the night went on, commentary started saying over 45,000 people were in attendance before Knoxville County Mayor Glenn Jacobs, formerly known as Kane, took to the ring and announced 48,449 people in attendance for SummerSlam last night. That's an almost 10,000 person increase. You know, if only people that signed yours and my paychecks used WWE math when figuring numbers out, that would make the world a better place, wouldn't it? AEW has finally announced their first Canadian dates. Wednesday, October the 12th, and Thursday, October the 13th are the dates that have been announced for Dynamite and Rampage separately. They will be two different events, Rampage being shot separately from Dynamite on the Thursday. Of course, there's AEW Dark, Dark Elevation, and who knows what else they'll throw into that because AEW loves taping matches. Either way, if you want to be at this show, get your tickets when they come out because the Coca-Cola Coliseum, where the event is being held in Toronto, has roughly a 5,000 to 7,000 person seating capacity for a layout similar to AEW TV, So if history is any indication, these tickets are going to go fast. They go on sale officially on August the 26th. And depending where or when you're hearing this show right now, we are anywhere along the card for Ric Flair's last match. Now, this pay-per-view event is actually loaded with 11 matches in total. You've got the Briscoes, Killer Cross, friend of the show Davey Boy Smith Jr., a.k.a. Harry Smith, Ricky and Kerry Morton along with Robert Gibson, Brian Pillman Jr., Brock Anderson with Arn in their corner, Josh Alexander, Jacob Fatu, Motor City Machine Guns, Jonathan Gresham, and more playing undercard to the main event, Ric Flair and son-in-law Andrade El Idolo taking on Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. If you head to our podcast network or just look up SNME Radio on your favorite podcast catching device, later on tonight I will have a review of the show top to bottom. That show will be available for you for free on our SNME Radio podcast network. So for once in about a month, we don't have a major, completely industry-shattering story to talk about. So we're going to play catch-up on some of the other stories this week with the Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer. Plus, stick around because we're going to catch up with an old friend of mine and someone who you've seen on Impact Wrestling, Raj Singh, formerly of the Desi Hit Squad. He's going to be joining me tonight for a ring-flipping good time on Sunday night's main event.
She thinks my tractor's sexy.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat. And a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider
with Dave Meltzer
on Sunday night's main event.
Okay, Dave, in the history of professional wrestling, how many times has someone tried to legitimately flip the ring over?
Oh, man, I cannot recall. I mean, we've seen the ring break a couple of times, but the flipping of the ring, I don't recall that one. Certainly never with a tractor. So, I think that was a first.
This sounds like a very WWE sort of, for the first time ever, using a tractor in a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, SummerSlam was last night. We got to start there, obviously. Overall feelings of the show?
I mean, it was definitely a positive. I think, there were some negatives. It still felt like a WWE show to me. I didn't really see like a big difference from prior regime other than like, you know, Dakota Kai obviously being rehired and Io Shirai being brought to the main roster. But I didn't see like big things. And the main event was, you know, very much WWE production. I thought that the show looked great because of the big crowd. And the show started with a Becky Lynch turn. So I thought that those changes were good. And then the rest of the show was kind of like a WWE pay-per-view. If you like it, then it was good. And there's a lot of gimmicks.
Joe Aguinaldo, who's been joining me for our Raw review, which we affectionately now refer to as Tuesday Morning Cooked, we've been saying for the longest time, and I think everybody's been saying for the longest time, nobody wants to boo Becky Lynch. Nobody wanted to boo Becky Lynch. And so that turn was great to see. Io Shirai, or Io Sky now, as she's going to be referred to. That was kind of a neat debut. As well as a returning Dakota Kai. So clearly Triple H's talent relations pen was busy this week.
Yes.
Was there any plan to bring her in before this, or did this happen?
They fired her. I think that if there are people who were, Paul Levesque did not want fired because, I don't want to say he wasn't consulted, but it was not his decision from what I understand on a lot of those firings. So obviously he felt highly of her, wanted her on the main roster. Vince didn't. So that's a change. And then EO's the same, you know, similar situation in the sense that She's now on the main roster, so she's going to stay. Her contract was running out, or had run out, or whatever. It was right about to run out. I forgot what it was, but, you know, I mean, I knew it was like in the next couple of weeks. And there was question of her going back to Japan if she did not get a main roster deal, but she did. So the big reset I saw, like, after that match, I thought that was good. And then the rest of the show felt like a WWE show. Most of the wrestling was good. Logan Paul, I thought, was fantastic. And the main event was, you know, filled with gimmicks, making Brock the monster while he still lost, with tons and tons of interference. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people really like that. You know, if you're not into tons of interference and tons of gimmicks and things like that, it wasn't your cup of tea. But this crowd was, and WWE is about special effects, so it worked.
I think it was definitely one of those, and we say this when we do our Raw review as well. I hate to keep deferring back to that, but we say if you go in expecting what you're getting, and I think that's the big differential, because you can watch AEW and enjoy it, you can watch GCW and enjoy it, and you can watch WWE and enjoy it, and you can still be the same person that does all those things. I think if you just change your mindset going into watching each show. I honestly loved the craziness, the ludicrousness of the finish for that Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match with the tractor thing, only because you're in Nashville, which is funny because there's not a ton of farm country actually in Tennessee, but here in Saskatchewan where I am, again, just a few hours away from Brock's farm, the thing that impressed me the most about that whole thing was that hairpin turn that he made with that giant thing down the aisle. Like, he got that perfect. Like, there's guys here that would watch that and be like, damn, that's a good turn, you know? But in all seriousness, I think they had to go that ludicrous route because, again, you don't want to destroy Brock without...
They always protect Brock, and with his salary, you know, it makes, although Goldberg's got a giant salary and they don't protect him in the same way, but you know, yeah, they always protect Brock. I think they always think they can bring him in and he can be a top guy at any time. It was supposed to be the last match between the two, and the idea is that it was, but nobody seems to really believe that because they go like, what happens if Dwayne Johnson gets hurt before WrestleMania? Right. Then what do you do?
For those that haven't watched SummerSlam and don't know what we're talking about, you can check out our full SummerSlam review at snmeradio.com. We have a free podcast of that. But you can also just go back and watch the show yourself, because you will see Brock Lesnar drive a giant case tractor to the ring and eventually use it to elevate and almost flip the ring over. I thought, first of all, that's probably only the second time I remember WWE showing how their rings are made at all, for those nerds that like seeing that sort of stuff. But it was also just a crazy dynamic of, yeah, we're going to make this thing as cartoonish as possible. Now, how much of this show do you feel, or do you know, was actually redone by Triple H versus what was maybe originally set in stone before going in?
Well, I don't know how much is set in stone, because most of it's done in the last week. The top stuff was probably discussed. The other stuff comes up in the last week. So I think that, like, finishes and stuff are new. The way that they did the finishes, I think, are new. Some of the stuff, like if the Street Profits are turning or splitting, and I don't know that they are or they're not, but
something's happening there, though. Yeah,
they've been teasing. I mean, that was teased before. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's staying the course. The Becky Lynch thing, I think, is a new course. So a little bit of both.
That's to be expected, right? Because you can't just 180 the entire company in a day. Like, you just can't.
It's probably not a good idea. People have tried it and it's kind of jarring. And then it's kind of like, yeah.
There's licensing issues too, right? We had this conversation come up last night with some of our patrons that were calling in. You know, they're wanting everybody to switch their names back. They want Doudrop to be Piper Niven again, everything else. But
that's not going to happen.
No, because everything's already been made. The merch is out there. The licensing is done. So if it does ever happen, it won't be right.
Well, I guess I should take that back. Doudrop is Piper Niven. They own that name anyway. So that one I don't think is unheard of. They could do that in time if they want to. That's up to him. I don't think it's a big deal either way. But people going back to their independent names, no, that's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. You said that Logan Paul was fantastic. I had this thought, and tell me if you agree or disagree. I thought that the Logan Paul Miz match was a very well-rehearsed, very well-planned match. I don't know if I bought into it completely, just because Logan did a lot. It was almost like Logan showing off everything he could do. But what do you
make
of it?
But he did it well.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that, but it's just...
Because there's a lot of botches on the show. And I would have thought in a match where if you had told me he's going to do this, 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 and this, I'm going to go like, some of it may look good and he might be like really good at this. But on a live stage, you know what I mean? Like... Mm-hmm. That's being ambitious, but I thought he pulled everything off great. He got great springs in his legs. He's athletically, you know, he's ahead of most of the guys in that company. I thought he was great.
Oh, his hops are fantastic. That moonsault that he did off the apron shocked me, to say the least, how easily he seemed to do it. I guess for me, though, it just seemed a little planned. I know it's wrestling, but you know what I mean? It seemed like they were kind of just watching each other's cues a little more. Maybe I just noticed it more. Maybe I'm also just being picky because, yeah, I don't know. But okay, well, you know what? You're the guy that's been watching for twice as long as I have, so I'm going to take your word for it. But let's go back to the main show itself. Of course, Bayley is back. That's great to see. Another return we had was Edge with a much better haircut coming back. And now, apparently, he's Satan? I mean,
I just thought it was sort of like going back to that Brood thing, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like when he came out with that entrance, it was almost Gangrel-ish to me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Edge and Ray, and then what happens with Dominic? Does the Judgment Day get a third male member? You know, that's, I guess, what we're kind of like looking at as far as.
Do you see them going on with Judgment Day, though? Because this act is falling pretty flat.
I think so. I think they'll keep going with it. I don't think they're going to give up on it right now, just because it's in the middle of a feud. You know, it's like Edge is going to feud with them. You know, and then what do you do with Balor as a heel without it? So I would say you keep going with it. And then, but I think that there's going to be, you know, member changes, member added, whatever happens with Dominic. I think there's a lot of different things, different ways that they can go.
Well, that's fair. I don't know. To me, it just seems like WWE fans don't like booing many Irish superstars unless they're Sheamus. Like, yeah. It seems to be the same thing with Becky as what they're doing with Finn now. I don't think anybody really wants to boo Finn Balor, but.
But with Finn, okay, he wasn't the most over babyface in the company, and he wasn't like a signature star at the level of Becky. And
right.
he actually did very well as a heel in Japan. And it's just something new. He'd been a babyface for so long. I am not, you know, I think it was just time for him just to freshen up.
And it might be growing pains, too. You might be absolutely right, where fans just got to give it time to. He's got to find his own way in this, because he was a babyface for so long in that company, too. So, I mean, we'll see what goes down the road there. Okay, let's get out of WWE for a second here. We were very excited, and this followed a tweet I noticed you sent out. Ontario, Canada fans, when they would prefer to see some sort of a wrestling show.
Or where? How much do you think it could draw? Because I have been talking with John Pollock, and or messaging with John Pollock mm-hmm. for months, because he was the one who actually brought this up to me and said that I think in this market they can do 30,000 people for the first show. And I've always thought Los Angeles, London, and Toronto were the three ones where they could do the stadium.
Yep.
You know, and I think it's time for them to try the stadium. When you're selling out arenas, and then they're not selling out every arena, but when they go to a market, a key market the first time, they usually get these great first day advances. Like Los Angeles, I just felt they should have gone to a soccer stadium because, you know, the visual. I loved the visual at the show last night. And I was thinking, you know, we're got AEW, you know, just out of the ordinary, instead of looking the same, have like one show like that where you've just got that visual of you start at 8 o'clock. The sun is still out. And you know, granted, when you go to the fall, it wouldn't be like that. And it might be too cold. But just do a stadium show just to say you've done it, especially first time in Canada. It's like, go in there and get that media going, like AEW, this new company debuted in front of 30,000 people. And it's like it makes you a major league company.
Well, Skydome has a roof, or sorry, Rogers Center has a roof. You know, it's
well, I don't know. But I don't know if Rogers Center was available. But I don't think went there. I know they have a soccer stadium as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I know Tony Khan does not want to risk the elements, which I can understand on a live TV show. They've had to do it in Jacksonville a couple times. But yeah, Rogers Center would have been great, but I know that they wanted Scotiabank Arena, and there was a hockey game and a concert on the two nights that they wanted, so they went to the Coca-Cola Coliseum. But now the great Toronto debut, yeah, they'll sell out and the first night and probably the second as well, but certainly the first, but it's 7,500 people. I'm disappointed because I really wanted to see AEW make a statement in Toronto. Mm-hmm. That's one of the, you know, Toronto's one of the great wrestling markets in the world, and you know, you never get a second chance to do the first show. I mean, people are going, oh, build up to the stadium. It's like, no, the first show is the big one. I think I would have wanted to debut with a big pay-per-view at Rogers, but those were the dates they had available.
I was a little surprised, too. In fact, a lot of fans were surprised they went with the Coca-Cola Coliseum. And it's funny that you mentioned the 7,500. I've seen that number tossed around a few times here. Now, knowing that building a little bit, knowing the layout, I don't even know if they're going to have room for 7,500 if they do the regular stage that they do for their entrance on top of the wrestling layout inside. That number could actually drastically decrease. So It'll definitely look like every other Dynamite or every other Rampage, yeah. But unless they do a low profile stage or something to get those seats behind, they're losing a lot of seats. So we'll see what happens, I guess, when tickets go on sale for that on August the 26th. I'm doing my best to get my butt down there and be a part of that show as well. So maybe it'll be a huge hit, or maybe they will decide to try and find a bigger building. But I don't know
not for the first
what else
one.
They could use. Yeah, not anymore.
Not for the first one. Yeah. No. It's that decision's already been made. You know, it's like 30,000. You know, people go, what about 30,000? It's like, I just remember, because, you know, I talked to Dana White about this when they first went, was I think it was UFC 129, which was at Rogers. And they had never done anything but an arena. They were hoping that with George St. Pierre and this Toronto debut, that they could do 30,000 people. And of course, they did 55,000 in the first weekend of ticket sales, which shocked them. You know, that's like the promoters often, well, you know, you're used to going into these cities and drawing 5,000-6,000 people. So that's what you expect. But sometimes on the high end, most of the time, you end up underestimating.
Talking to Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com. Dave, the big story that we don't have to talk about this week, I feel like we should at least touch on. Has there been any sighting or any news or anything heard of what Vince McMahon has been doing since he left the company last week?
Nothing. Not a word. Have not heard a thing. I don't expect him at any shows. We'll see what happens with the investigations. There's the news on Vince, I believe, will still continue to happen, but he's out of the company.
We played the clip of Linda McMahon being asked about Vince the other day. I know you know what one I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
Boy, does that seem like a loving wife or not?
Yeah. What's she going to do under the circumstances?
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to have private affairs, but this was like blown up right in her face. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, whatever. You know, I don't know what she's going to do, but it's very different from what it was. But, you know, she's known about this since the 80s and whatever it is. She's got her thing. She's not in WWE. She hasn't been in WWE for a long, long time. And she has her own life.
That must have been one hell of a prenup. That's all I'm saying.
You've got to remember, they were married in 1966. I don't think there's any prenup in there.
Well, then why doesn't she own half of a multi-billion dollar stock by now?
Probably not to mess with the company that she helped start and that her kids, you know, her son-in-law and her daughter are in control of and just doesn't want to make a big mess out of everything.
I guess so. Yeah, there's probably something there. Okay, last thing before we go here. Tully Blanchard, he's been making appearances at the Ric Flair's Last Match event, but he mysteriously seems to have left AEW, ROH, and Tony Khan was very cryptic in his response about it here.
I don't know what it was, but I think that it was just one of those things where I don't know who made the call. You know, as far as, but it looks like he's gone and Prince Nana's in the spot. So,
all right, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com. Always great catching up with you, sir. Now, last week, and I got to read a lot of it here, and man, you got so much detail, but last week you went deep into the Vince McMahon leaving and just so many great details there. What are you working on that people can look forward to?
Oh, man, I don't know. I need to detox after this week. This week was so hard. That story was so hard to put together. Coverage of SummerSlam, you know, and Raw and just the new moves by Paul Levesque. I mean, as far as the talent moves, I'm expecting some talent moves, you know, over the next, you know, couple of months where we're going to see people pop in. I don't know who they'll necessarily be. I mean, everybody's now looking at Johnny Gargano name, right? You know, like, what's he going to do? He's been a free agent for a long, long time. He left when Paul lost power. Paul's got power. You know, Paul pushed him very, very hard in NXT. He didn't go to AEW. So he's one. It's like he's like one on the radar. Like, what's he going to do now?
All right. There you have it. Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. We're not talking about stock prices. We're not talking about lawyers this week. It's weird. It's almost like we're talking about wrestling again, Dave.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, sir. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, have a great week.
Coming up next from Impact Wrestling, an old friend, Raj Singh, tells us about his life there and also his family's long legacy in Canadian professional wrestling. This is an interview you won't want to miss.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows. hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to the post-SummerSlam edition of Sunday Night's Main Event. Again, if you want a full recap of SummerSlam, hosted by myself and Joe Aguinaldo, along with our pal Mark Andrada, you can check that out for free at snmeradio.com. But now we're going to move forward to a few weeks back. You might remember I was in Calgary, Alberta for the debut of Dungeon Wrestling. Bret the Hitman Hart was there. Harry Smith, a.k.a. Davey Boy Smith Jr. was there, as was a guy who I first met as Gamma Singh Jr. years ago. I'm talking like 2003, 2004, somewhere around there. Just a kid at the time, and since then has gone on to do great things in wrestling himself. It's Raj Singh from Impact Wrestling. Raj has been having a great time in Impact. He's had some great matches as well, and here we talk about all that, plus humble beginnings, and oh yeah, getting to wrestle in front of a couple of historic icons. One being one of Canada's favorites, and the other, his father, right here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Enjoy. So I want to start this like I did last week with Harry Smith and say, what do I call you? Because, again, you're a guy that I've known as Raj.
Yeah.
Then you've also been Gamma Singh Jr.
Well, you, when you first met me, you was Jr.
Exactly.
For all those years.
Yeah. Now, Raj Singh.
Yeah.
Impact Wrestling.
Yes, sir.
The night we record this was a part of the big Dungeon Wrestling kickoff in Calgary, Alberta, Romero Distillery. What a weird but fun venue.
Great night, man. Like, dude, in all of my years of wrestling in Calgary, dude, maybe even in Canada.
Yeah.
This could be the best for atmosphere. Dude, I wish I could relive it because it was so awesome. Just like, it was strange because we had the casual wrestling fans.
Yep.
And we had the hardcores and we had the newbies, but everybody was into it.
You know why? Because you were in the main event.
I appreciate you saying that, man. I do appreciate you saying that, but it was just like, you know, having my dad there at ringside too, having Bret there, seeing those guys laugh together and then also be part of the show. I'm like, damn, man, this is like what I've been wanting to do for so long. And then when it happened, we had a huge crowd to see it. And it was special because I have the utmost respect for Harry and Harry's work. And Harry was my sixth professional match,
yeah.
Harry and TJ. And then as to date, it's the latest.
Well, I was talking to Harry earlier, and we talked about the Harry and TJ match that went everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's what really got them in tune with each other. And if you got to see that match, you know what we're talking about.
That was the one in Cochrane.
Yeah. Well, there was everywhere. Yeah. Like, literally, they would just go. And then you and I met about that time when you were Gamma Singh Jr. and working PWA and Stampede down south. And all of a sudden, one day, I see that, holy shnikes, Raj has gone to Impact. Good for you, man. Like,
thank
it was
you,
really good. But when Anthem took over, they started bringing in a lot of Canadian talent.
Yep.
What do you think set you apart from others that were trying out?
Man, it's tough because I do know what brought me in. It was part of the fact that, like, my family lineage and my culture. Of course, talent has to matter because you can't just be somebody related to somebody, or you can't just be an Indian dude. You have to have talent or something you're looking for. But the fact that there was negotiations going on with other companies, you know what? To be honest, Impact didn't even know I was negotiating with other companies. It's when they called me and asked me after. Scott D'Amore had seen me in a match, and he liked my stuff.
Yep.
And then I went to go, and I actually went to Windsor, and I was training in the ring with him. And then it wasn't like, hey, here's a contract, pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
He sat on it for a bit, and then when he came back to me, I was in the middle of negotiations because I just left a tryout. with one of the other companies.
Wow.
So it was like, when it rains, it pours. Here I am, like, in PWA, working for All-Star Vancouver. I'm traveling the world doing spots for, you know, in Puerto Rico, South Africa, Lebanon, these kind of places. And then I'm like, damn, bro, everything hit. It rains, it pours.
Nobody wants me. Everybody wants me.
Yeah. So to further answer your question, what sets me apart is the fact that I wrestle like it's, for me, wrestling is real, bro.
Yeah.
When I hit somebody, I hit somebody, and when they hit me, they better hit me because I'll got to sell it.
I'm going to hit them back.
Yeah. And like, you know, anybody that watches my work, you've seen me work for 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. I don't do flips. I don't do the 450s, the moonsaults. I can, but I don't because I see it with the other guys, the X Division guys, the flippy guys. So I don't, I change my style. I ground it. I technique it. And that's what sets me apart.
That's a great answer, too, because you have to have some self-awareness of what it is you bring to a product or what it is you bring to a brand. And so I think that's a great answer, man. I think that you're making waves now. I mean, your name's all over, especially when it comes to reports coming out of Impact. Like, it's great to see you getting more and more of a profile there as well.
I appreciate that, yeah.
What is it like sitting under the learning tree of Scott D'Amore?
Man, it's okay. It's tough. Because you're not getting that direct one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Because you're under the learning tree of him and every producer and every agent at once.
Right.
But him being at the top of the pyramid coming down, you get a little bit. But then I observe everything. So as I'm watching, I observe it. It's great to see how he and the other producers and the other agents handle the stress and the moving parts, everything that's quickly moving, and they handle it with such poise that teaches you to be like, you can have poise in your matches, you know, you can have poise when you're planning things out. So yeah, it's been a great experience, and like this time in Impact, and what I like about Scott is I'm not a Scott D'Amore guy, but Scott D'Amore did help in my discovery to come to Impact. Okay. So I'm not a Scott D'Amore guy, but he doesn't play a favorite with me. And he doesn't, like, you know, if you're a Scott D'Amore guy, you don't get favor. He doesn't favor you.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He treats you like a, let's say like a Bill Belichick will teach his guys, or like a Barry Trotz will tell his guys, do this and do it right.
Yeah.
And go get ready and get out of my face.
If anything, maybe the pressure is more on you to,
but like, it's
you're
not
less like impressed, you know?
Yeah. And, but you know, it's not like a pressure. It's like a, I know you can do this, so go do it.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't feel you're going to do it, he's not going to say something to you. So well, it's cool. It's good. I like that, as you say, pressure, mm-hmm. because it's like the expectation and it drives us.
Impact Wrestling just celebrated the big anniversary. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a company that fans have often looked at one of two ways. Either they've been a fan of the product the whole time, mm-hmm. or it's one of those companies where people go, wow, they're still here. And there were a lot of peaks and valleys, especially before now. I feel, just as someone who watches, and I especially pay attention to the pay-per-views, because we got a lot of wrestling to cover on this show now,
of course,
but I feel that Impact has finally found a stride. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that. And as you're saying it, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I was like, man, I want to cut this guy off. It's not finally found a stride. The stride, like, man, the product has been so good for so long. So now that you say that, if you look back and start watching, it's like, hey, you know what? It's been great for a long time. It's just getting that notoriety now.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's like that forbidden door. It's weird because, in my opinion, the fans look at it, oh, the forbidden door. And now Impact's doing good. It's like, nah, bro. This has been great for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I don't think the stuff on the screen has been in question. I don't think the work in the ring, because, dude, you were there for some of my training sessions. I didn't make it into a match ever, but I mean, I can say, I know what it's like to bump, I can say, but I'm never going to say whether or not the wrestling quantifies being watched or not on television.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is more and more fans, I think, in that perception, seem to be buying in on it
100%,
again. 100%. Yeah, and that's what I think that...
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't want you to think that I was talking about...
Oh, yeah.
But I think you found your stride with people who are watching, people who review it. I know that our guys, Boris and Matt, who review Impact Weekly, they've said numerous times that Impact has had the show of the week. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where I think, yeah, if more eyes can get on it, then that would be a great thing. I mean, Forbidden Door happened in AEW. We all know about that. But before, it was Christian coming back as your Impact champion. Mm-hmm. That brought a lot of eyes back in. When Kenny was there, sure. But I think now fans are finally receptive enough to Impact Wrestling that I think you guys can be on a great stride here moving forward.
Yeah, so, no, it's great, man. And it's exciting being a part of it because, like, as you say, more eyes on it. And it's just, it's great being a part of it. Even if it's like 10 on the show, it's just great being a part of it all. Because that locker room is great, dude. It's very underrated locker room in the sense of talent, but the personalities are amazing too.
Well, you got a lot of great talent there. I want to talk about your talent tonight in the main event against Harry Smith. This is going to be a two-part question. So part one is this. I don't know if it's the first time you've ever done it, but how is it wrestling with freaking Bret the Hitman Hart right there at ringside watching what you're doing?
I'd be lying if I said it wasn't nerve-wracking, but at the same time, dude, it's like extra motivation. It's extra motivation because I'm still going to go. I'm confident in my ability. So I'm sitting there like, man, Brett, after the match and before the match, I'm thinking like, yeah, you know, you got those butterflies going, hands are sweating.
Right.
But during it, it's like, nah, bro, I was about to slap on the sharpshooter. I even looked at him, point a finger gun at him. I said, yeah. Here you go, brother.
I told Harry about this in last week's interview. So I want to ask you, did you notice Brett react when you put the sharpshooter on?
Did I notice?
Yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw him. I saw him.
Okay.
I looked right at him.
Oh, I know, but there was a second there because you were stalling putting it on, right? You're doing the good bad guy thing. I'm going to put the sharpshooter on him in Calgary against the British Bulldog son and all this stuff, right? And I'm loving it. But I told Harry this, and I tell you this only because in the time that I've gotten to know Brett, I think I've audibly seen him laugh out loud once. He's still the Hitman. He's still you know, Mr. Play It Cool, play it, you know. When you went for that sharpshooter, he reacted. He yelled into the ring.
I know, I saw it. That's why I
that's it, man.
But yeah, Brett the Laugh Man Hart, yo.
But he was yelling at you, like he was playing along. You know, you gotta pop out of the Hitman. So
yeah, which is great, man. And it's man, like these kind of moments are so special. And like, not to take away from what your question was, but then I looked over at my dad and my dad was laughing.
That was my next question because you have this amazing lineage in your father, the Great Gamma.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And, I mean, fans out west especially, but I mean, when the original run of Stampede went national, everybody knew who the Great Gamma was.
Yeah.
When he's there and he's hamming it up, too, and he's being classic bad guy manager now, and he's arms in the air. Yeah, he's won! Everything. Like, I'm watching, and that's got to make you feel amazing to see that energy come back from your dad.
Yeah, it's like, man, it's hard to put into words, and I'm one of those people that I appreciate it more now at my age than I did when you first met me, because my dad was there every week.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I call my dad Bobby. I'm like, Bobby, you're going to be at the show? Sometimes I don't even call him. I know he's going to be there.
Right.
And now when it's there, it's a treat because we're not on TV together anymore.
Right.
So I look at it as like, you never know when the last one's going to be. You want everyone to be the best it's going to be, and you want everyone to be special. So it meant that much more that he came out and he put his all into it, and then the fact that he had fun, it was great to see.
Yeah, he was jumping around out there at one point. It was great.
I just, man, and I hate to sound cliche, but when I see my dad there, when I see Brett there, when I see Diana there, because it's Harry's mom too, so I want to put on a freaking show, and we want it to be like the best it can be. And it's motivating. And like I said, I don't want to sound cliche, but when I see these guys that laid the groundwork down and they inspired us, it's that much more of a boost when we're in the match.
He is Raj Singh. You can see him on Impact Wrestling. Where can they find you on the socials?
You're going to find me at True Raj Singh. That's TrueRajSingh. That's on Twitter, Instagram, maybe even MySpace.
You got them all?
Yeah. I got them all. Nice. Brother. I got them all. I even got TikTok, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I don't use it, but I got it in case somebody tried to buy it off me.
You're not going
to
be the grown-ass man that's going to be doing TikTok dances.
No, never know. Never say never, right? You know, there might be that one, like, promo I have to do or something, man.
You know what? You do it, man. But, yeah, I'll save that for you. You can rock the TikTok.
Hey, maybe we'll do, a duet.
Hey, yeah, you start. Raj Singh, thank you, brothers. Great seeing you. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
You know, he plays a really good bad guy on Impact Wrestling, so we'll just keep the fact that he's actually, like, a really cool guy between us, okay? But there you go, Raj Singh from Impact Wrestling. And like I said, if you haven't watched Impact in a while, you should check it out, because there's a lot of great things happening there, and Raj Singh is a part of it. I'm Mike McGuire. This is Sunday Night's Main Event, airing across Canada on TSN Radio, and we're back with some of your feedback on the last week next.
Feel my tractor rising up high. Hydraulic lift, 6 foot tires, 12.8 in the big old green machine.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio.
Picture before and after.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks imbalance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Hey, I'm Mike McGuire. Welcome back to Canada's only national wrestling radio show. Yeah, and it's because you're here listening to it that we get to do this. So thank you very much for that. Part of the fun is talking about pro wrestling and things that we see on shows. Now, last night at WWE SummerSlam in Nashville, there was a lot to see. There were some character changes. There were some returns. And yes, there was even the ring being lifted up by a tractor. Now, we always invite your feedback on our social media. You can find us at SNME Radio on all the big socials, and then look up SNME Radio on Facebook as well. That's where a lot of our discussion seems to take place the most. So if you have any feedback, we'd love to hear from you there. But last night, during our SummerSlam after party show, we got a call from James down in Texas, who listens to SNME Radio regularly. And here were his thoughts on SummerSlam, including Brock Lesnar flipping the ring with a tractor.
What I wanted to talk about tonight was what I talked about, two turns and a jump. So the two turns were the face turn by Becky and the heel turn by Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
And the jump was the jump the shark moment when Brock lifted the
I will not sit here and have the greatest moment in SummerSlam history besmirched, but please continue. Please continue.
I'm following along on the Facebook chat on the SNME thing, and thanks for letting us guys south of the 48th, post on the other Facebook page.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, we need to have the man back. I mean, when Becky's the man, she drives ratings, she drives attendance, she never should have been turned heel, right? And the whole thing. So it's good. They're going to turn her back face. We're going to get to see the man again. It's going to be awesome. And then Ronda's a heel. She's always wanted to be the rowdy Roddy Piper heel, chasing, being that badass dude. And I think that's what she wants to do, you know? And so I hate to bring up the happy days, jump the sharp moment that some of us are older might remember. But when Brock lifts the ring up, I'm like, oh, and WWE jumped the shark. But it was still cool. Don't get me wrong. But so that's my two turns and a shark and a jump over tonight. So please feel the comment. And it was so great talking to you guys. Thank you for doing this, like you always guys do. So
James, before you go, let me ask you this, because I almost thought for a second that they might actually try and stand the thing up fully on its end. Would that have been even worse or better in your opinion?
Well, it would have been cool if they could have got it to 90 degrees, then Brock could have thrown Roman into it, or Roman could have thrown Brock into a 90 degree ring.
Yeah.
Like on a right angle, you know, and he's just throwing it, bouncing the mic off a wall. That would have been pretty cool.
If only the states weren't so damn litigious. Well, thanks to James, who's an SNME Radio Patreon member, for being a part of the show last night. And again, you're welcome to join us as well for pennies a podcast here. We're talking like $5 a month, Canadian. Okay, so really, what does that boil down to? Especially for guys like James down in the U.S. Either way, thank you very much for being a part of the show. We talk about ridiculous things here because really, that's all this is. It's pro wrestling. It's supposed to be fun, and it's fun being here with you every single week. Later on tonight, I'll be reviewing the Ric Flair's last match pay-per-view, top to bottom, including the big finale and 10 other matches. Hopefully, you can join me for that on our podcast feed for free, snmeradio.com. Until next time, as always, thanks for listening and letting me do what I do. Play safe, drive safe. I'll be seeing ya.
Thanks for finding Sunday Night's Main Event. To get the complete show as well as bonus weekly podcasts, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/snmeradio.